This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Global pioneer of research into HIV, Professor David Cooper, passed away on Sunday, aged 69, after a short illness. Professor Cooper initiated groundbreaking research into the infectious disease and was one of the first to respond to the worldwide AIDS epidemic in the early 1980s. We pay tribute to him with the following audio collected from conversations he's had over the past few years, as well as with a tribute from the president of ACON, Justin Coonan, who pays his respects.
So it was 1981. I got to Boston in August. The first papers in the New England Journal were in the middle of that year. And it was absolutely fascinating because there was an immunodeficiency disorder of adults, which seemed really quite extraordinary. And so that was, you know, I just became involved at that stage. And I realised that... when I came back to Australia, it may well be a problem because I went back to my original hospital where I trained at St Vincent's Hospital in Sydney, which was an inner city teaching hospital. And with the geography of Sydney, the hospital is on one side is the gay community, and on the other side is the sort of King's Cross sex, drugs, rock and roll, right? And so I thought, well, if it's going to be a problem in any hospital in Australia, it would have to be at my institution, and that's what happens. That's where we saw the first cases, where we actually saw the seroconversion illness. We actually described it and published the seroconversion illness in The Lancet in 1985, when in fact there were very hardly any cases of AIDS in Australia at that time. So the virus was just being introduced into the gay community in Sydney.
David was a giant in the field, and we're going to miss him terribly, both for his tremendous intellect and for his huge compassionate heart.
But it was difficult, and you know, in the peak year, which would have been 92-93, I would have had a ward of about 36 people, you know, continuously, quite very, very sick and dying and really difficult. And it was a very, very stressful time for me. In the end, I just couldn't even face going to funerals. It was just so horrible, you know.
David's worked on HIV for over 30 years. And during that period, we've seen HIV and AIDS transform from a near certain death sentence to a chronic, manageable condition, which can be controlled by taking a pill a day.
And so I was able to apply my, you know, clinical skills and investigation in the laboratory to sort of define that first phase of the infection. And of course, that's become now absolutely critical in cure research, because that's the time at which maybe the reservoirs are not laid down in large amount, and therefore that might be the time to, you know, to intervene and produce a cure, as for example in the Mississippi baby.
There are thousands of people who are alive thanks to the work of David Cooper, and we've worked with him up until recent times, including through the implementation of EPIC New South Wales, which is probably the world's largest clinical trial of pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP.
So in 1994 it was Yokohama. I was involved in Yokohama in the organisation. I thought it was important because it was actually in our region. It was the first conference that was in Asia Pacific, and you know, being someone that comes from that part of the world, that was important. And you know, I still think that concentrated epidemics in Asia Pacific are a real challenge. So I was involved in the meeting, and I supported the meeting, but it was the pits because, you know, the Concord result had come out in Berlin, and to generate any enthusiasm 1 year later was really very, very difficult. What I didn't realise was what a minimal organisation that it was. It was essentially a site selection committee for the World AIDS conferences. It had a membership which was pretty low and not terribly influential. And it didn't have much money in the bank. It was it had about, I think, $50,000 in a bank account in Hamburg. So it wasn't a good base to start the International AIDS Society. So together with Lars Kallings, who became Secretary General at Yokohama, we sort of set about trying to rather than to be a big advocacy organisation, just to try and get the grassroots together, to try and get it as a international organisation that had some roots, to try and get some finance, and to generate some interest, and to also try to say to the international community, IAS needs to be not just the site selection committee, but needs to be the people who take responsibility for these conferences. And that didn't happen immediately. The Canadians had already decided about doing Vancouver. And so it took quite a while for that transformation to occur. But we did set in place the tools to allow it to happen.
His legacy will live on, but we'll miss him terribly.
So obviously it was a huge euphoria at that meeting. Julio Montana, who's, one of the other past presidents, spoke about the INCA study, which was one of the really important combination therapy studies, in this case using a non-nucleoside, not a protease inhibitor, but that was very important. And that was a study that Joep Langer and Julio and myself had actually designed together, So that was very exciting, and to just see the field sort of transform before your eyes was really, great compared to the misery, if you like, of Yokohama. So that was a really, really very good feeling. The provision of antiretrovirals post Vancouver was a really big issue. We managed it pretty well in rich countries, who could afford to pay the money, and we saw the Lazarus effect, right? The wards just emptied out, and that was a huge relief. I think we didn't go very rapidly from 96 to 2000 to realise the plight of the of low and middle income countries. For me, I think the biggest thing right now is, how do we optimise the rollout? We've got more and more people to treat, and we have to work out how to do more with less money, or more with at least the same money. And for me, that's what's really exciting. What are the ways in which we can provide clinical science evidence for doing things more efficiently, more effectively, more cost-effectively? The cure issue is a complex one. I think the science is really important to work on that. I'm not sure that it's ready for, putting potentially toxic drugs into people. And particularly when we have such effective antiviral drugs, So and one of the other things that I think suffers in that is vaccine research. At the end of the day, I don't think antiretroviral therapy, as good as it is sustainable for life of a person. I'm not sure whether we'll eliminate HIV with test and treat. Haven't done that for tuberculosis. We've never done that for syphilis, so I'm not sure. And they're curable diseases, right? So I think that, we have to be careful that we don't move to the next most exciting thing. And at the end of the day, I think a vaccine is the one way that will be a sustainable preventive strategy, that vaccines are the best things to prevent infectious diseases. As much as I've been involved in antiretroviral therapy, as fascinating as it's been, as the fact that I've been involved in every drug that's been developed at some level, whether it's phase one or phase three or whatever, and each one of those drugs has a personality of its own, as much as I think it's been a modern medical miracle, I think, yes, it'll be a mainstay of the way we approach the epidemic. I think the treatment as prevention has been a big advance to protect other people. But I still think that a vaccine is, at the end of the day, is the way to go. And we mustn't lose that momentum, as difficult as that is. Right?
David was a giant in the field, and we're going to miss him terribly, both for his tremendous intellect and for his huge compassionate heart. David's worked on HIV for over 30 years, and during that period, we've seen HIV and AIDS transform from a near-certain death sentence to a chronic, manageable condition, which can be controlled by taking a pill a day. There are thousands of people who are alive thanks to the work of David Cooper, and we've worked with him up until recent times, including through the implementation of EPIC New South Wales, which is probably the world's largest clinical trial of pre-exposure prophylaxis or PrEP. His legacy will live on, but we'll miss him terribly.
That was the president of ACON, Justin Coonan, paying tribute to the passing of one of Australia's pioneering researchers into HIV/AIDS and a passionate LGBTA health advocate, Professor David Cooper.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.